Guys, it's already February. When did that happen in 2020? I'm still trying to get used to writing 2020 on the dates. By the way, they tell you to write the full 2020. I know you've probably heard that plenty of times. But it's crazy. February 2020, and tonight, or this afternoon, we're going to be talking about margin because we've already made our resolutions, if you've been a part of our Houston's First series with Pastor Greg. And I just feel this weight on our city, and especially downtown, as I've just been kind of walking and talking with the professional workplace. And it's just this, we've hit full gear. It's almost like we've hit full stride. If you're running the 400-meter dash, we've just turned the first corner, and we feel it. Either we haven't trained as much, or we just need some rest, or we're hitting our rhythm and stride, and we're just feeling the weight and gravity of that. So I want to talk about margin today, and it's a real pastoral word, and I know that. And it's kind of cliche in some ways, but I want to talk about why God has designed us to live in margin. So before we do that, I'll kind of give a quick introduction to myself for those who don't know, and then give a Team Womack update. But first, I just want to say thank you, Jim, who is a faithful volunteer and has served us each and every single week. Can we just all give a hand to Jim? I mean, he wouldn't come up because he's too servant-hearted and too humble, but I think it's definitely worth saying that this doesn't happen without Jim every single week. And so thank you for your leadership and your service towards us. We're deeply blessed. We love you, Jim. So I am Skylar. My friends call me Sky. You're welcome to do the same. We have gotten married 2 years ago. I'll talk to you about what we did for our anniversary. But my wife and I live four blocks away in downtown Houston. And so we do a ministry called Apartment Life, where we help build community among high-rises. And we actually get to make disciples and plant churches within high-rises and apartments through this organization. And it's one of the funnest things we get to do together as a couple. And my role at Houston's First is the Minister of Missionary Care. So this essentially means that I'm the liaison between all of our missionary partnerships at Houston's First Baptist Church. And so if I'm here in town, I typically try to join in with High Point every Wednesday. If not, I'm typically out of the country or planning for another trip or conference. And so it's been really fun. That's one of our partners, Dave Weston. He leads a refugee church planting movement through the European nations as they're coming from Greece to destination cities like Portugal and Germany. And so some great work doing over there, and it's fun. So glad that Houston's First has such a heart for missions and allows our team to be a part. And then the next update is just kind of a Team Womack update. I wanted to update you guys. I want to be faithful and kind of updating you about our life. We just hit 2 years, which means that we have it all figured out. Not at all, right? The other day, this is my wife, Abby. She told me in passing, as I was walking out the door, she said, "Hey, I need to get this off my chest." And I was like, "Sure, what's going on?" She goes, "The way you smack your cereal in the morning, it just bothers me. And I just is so small, and I don't want to turn it into a thing, but I'm like, that is so good. We're getting to the good stuff in 2 years, right?" And it's just the things that we wouldn't tell each other in our first year. So super fun. And then I recently taught a D-Now, it's a Discipleship Now weekend for our youth and student ministry here at Houston's First. And I typically do not teach that age group, so it was new for me. There's around 300 to 400 kids involved, 6th grade through 12th grade, which is a wide range. It's hard to talk to the 6th graders and then turn around and talk to the 12th graders because completely different ages and stages of life. But it was a unique challenge, and I loved it. But I typically, if I teach or I speak somewhere, it's in this environment. So you guys are some of my favorite people here on earth. And then I'll teach on the mission field. I very rarely teach to students, which is why I was surprised in the middle of my first session to see a leftover Coke and granola bar that I left on the front row being distributed between friends. And what was left of my Diet Coke was being chased down and drinking by a middle school boy. So I have my food close to me right here just because I'm still processing that trauma of seeing that the first session on the student weekend. But the things that you get to do and see in youth ministry. Wow. But that's super fun. God did a lot, and I heard a lot of cool stories of how he used the small group leaders and what that weekend has done for our student body. So that's kind of us. Quick update. We have a lot going on in the spring, so we'd love for you to jump in if you're interested or have a heart for missionaries or missions, and we could talk more about that later. But I kind of just want to set the stage for today. I had a quick video, which was a FedEx video, but it didn't work out. But it's setting the stage of what would like look like if we didn't know, if we didn't have so much busyness around us. Like, what would life look like if we actually had margin? It's just interesting. I don't know. I think we maximize our time, even in the ride home or even in transitions, and we are quick to fill our times with something that's productive, which is great. And so I want to talk about what can we do with those times that's eternal. And so just another way of looking at that. And this week's message is just to encourage you. A lot of you, you guys are doing a great job in your families and in your workforce. And I just hope that you leave encouraged. It's just a kind of lighthearted message in the middle of February, just to kind of set the tone for the rest of the spring. So I'll pray, and then we'll open up and talk about our passage. If you have not got a High Point kind of teaching guide, this is what we're going to be going off of, and we'll have a lot of fun today. So let's pray, and then let's dive in. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to experience your margin through Christ Jesus. We know that there are pressures and weights that we feel from other people, or maybe some pressures and weights that we place on ourselves, or some that are just in our culture that we don't even know we indirectly feel. So God, we ask that you, we begin just to speak to us about what are these things that we feel to a day-to-day basis, and what does it look like to live under your yoke, which is easy and light. And Father, we know that Jesus had even a hectic and busy ministry, but yet he always seemed time to abide and to be. So God, we ask for your help, we ask for your guidance, and we ask that you just speak to us through this scripture. Philippians 4 is such an amazing passage where you tell your church and give guidance for your church just to step in to your presence. We love you, Jesus, and we know it's always about you. And so let us leave this place deeply encouraged, knowing that we're deeply loved. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Philippians 4 is an amazing passage. This scripture, and by the way, this picture, if you're in the room, this is what I took of last year when I took kind of a three-week sabbatical. It's the first time I've ever done that. I placed it in between holidays. It was kind of like a coward sabbatical. It wasn't really a true sabbatical. But I got a lot out of it. And so I slept on Discovery Green's lawn. That's the first time I've ever done that. And just in the middle of the city, in the middle of the workday, for other people, I got to sleep in the Discovery Green lawn and just making these small steps to practice margin and creating margin. And the Lord has used some of those times tremendously for my life. So we'll use small examples like that as we go on, as we talk about Philippians 4. So let's talk. Philippians 4. Everyone, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, on what is honorable, on what's right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. Then God of peace will be with you. Then the God of peace will be with you. This is such a great passage. And we're going to take it line by line. So first, let's talk about lack of margin. That's your first blank, your lack of margin. This is something that we feel to a day-to-day basis, and especially in the workforce. The other day, I have a confession, right? The other day, I was texting and walking down the stairs and fell down literally eight steps of concrete stairs and just laid there for about 5 minutes. And I think that was my indication that I'm doing too much, right? And I don't know if you have these moments yourself of I'm multitasking too much or I'm trying to cram all these things into this little time space. And when we do it well and long enough, we think that we can do more and we push our limitations. And what Jesus is inviting us to in this passage and what we're going to talk about is to do more with less, to do more with less. Email alone, I mentioned this last year, there's 235.6 billion emails sent every day. The average person in the room, in this room right now, sends and receives 126 emails per day. That's a lot. That's the first time ever in the history of Earth that there's been so much rapid notifications and communications, and that has a lot of weight on us. The Japanese even started a term. It's called kuroshi. It's defined as the death by overworking. And so the Japanese workforce is known to work 60 to even 70 hours a week, and they even had a term for kuroshi for that. And so I want to start there because verse 5 and 6, and we're going to take this line by line, is kind of a confession. I think where we start often with God is we need just to confess and really bring what we're feeling to the surface because it's hard to step into what he has for us, or it's hard to listen when we're still carrying the things that we walked in the door with. So verse 5 is be considerate in all that you do. And I think when we're rushed and we're hurried or whether we're falling down six steps of stairs because we're texting and walking, we're not really considerate in all that we do. And the last thing we're thinking about is Jesus coming back soon, right? When was the last time when you were in a hurry and you paused and said, I wonder if Jesus is coming back today? None of us, right? And so there's just this, there's this permission that Paul gives us to zoom out, to let us know, be considerate in all that you do, for the Lord is coming soon. There's a bigger picture at hand. You're a part of a bigger story. And that's what he's setting the stage with. Verse 6, don't worry about anything. Okay, Paul, that's ideological, not realistic. Don't worry about anything, but instead, pray about everything. And so our next kind of section, we're going to be talking about prayer, which is your second blank. Prayer is the means in which we start experiencing margin. So if you feel like you're being boxed in on all corners and you're feeling pressure and you're not meeting people's expectations from family to boss to whatever, prayer is the means in which you get to experience that margin in that room because God always creates a way and it's always through the step of prayer. Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. There's this permission to be in constant dialogue with God. Paul also talks about pray without ceasing. And I think a lot of us think about us talking to ourselves on the street, and that's not what pray without ceasing means. It means praying, vocalizing, and also listening. So for us to be in tune and just listening throughout the day, listening is praying. Listening is praying. So verse 6, pray about everything. We talked about the confession of just kind of bringing everything you have to the table with Jesus. He's called our burden bearer. That's literally one of his names. And so he's waiting for us to release the burden to him so we can step into verses 7, 8, and 9. He's our burden bearer. And also, we get to practice gratitude. So tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Gratitude is a discipline. This is something I'm stepping into for the first time. One of my goals for 2020 is I have a 9 p.m. timer. So right before I kind of go to bed or if I'm wrapping up with my last meetings of the day or if we have a Bible study at night, it will hit and strike 9 p.m. and then the words gratitude will come up on my screen. And I'm trying to practice the sense of everything the Lord has done throughout the day. Because I'm going from room to room to room to room, and so are you. You're going from room to room to room to room without pausing, reflecting on what God is up to. And that's hard for us to make that transition. And so for us to have times of the day where we pause and we practice gratitude and reflection, and this is a huge verse that advocates for that. Verse 7, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Then is an important word, which is why I underlined it for me. I'm not sure if it's underlined for you, but then is a cause and effect word. So if we do the prior verses 5 and 6, then 6 and 7 happen. It's an equation Paul's giving us, and that's the clear transition for this passage. Then, cause and effect. Then we will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And I love this word peace. I want to park here just for a second. Peace, we're going to get theological here now. So peace is actually, in the scripture, in the Greek, it's used for the word Jesus' presence. So another reference that we see this in the Bible is when Jesus commissions out his disciples two by two when he was still on earth and having his ministry, and he would say, if you're invited into the household, that's great. Say, may the Lord's peace be on this place, and speak that and pray that over the threshold of the door. And what he's saying is, may God's presence be on this household. And if you're not welcome, then dust the dirt off your feet and move on. But God's peace, that word is used constantly in scripture. And I think we think it's a side effect of God's presence, but maybe we don't reflect on that it is God's presence. So anytime we feel God's peace, that's literally Jesus being in the room with us. That's Jesus and God's spirit with us. And so that's what he's talking about. His peace exceeds anything we can ask, think, or imagine. That's what Isaiah says. So just kind of a fun word. I'm not going to even try to pronounce the Greek word. I'm just not going to do it, you guys. So verse 7, his peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And so this is speaking towards, Paul is thinking, is preaching and writing this towards our anxious thoughts. So a lot of the time, we're wanting to come up with strategies of how to manage our anxious thoughts or anxious worries, which he addresses in verses 5 and 6. But for us to think, what if we just invited Jesus in the room with us? Or what if we invited Jesus into this situation with us? What if we pause and just invited Jesus in, and that would solve it? Could it be that simple? If we just invited Jesus into the situation, because his peace exceeds even our understanding, and it guards our hearts and our minds as we live in Christ Jesus. This is a significant passage for me because there was 2 years ago where there's a lot of my support pillars and some key people in my life that transitioned on, and I didn't have those people. In fact, one was a spiritual father to me, and I grew up without a biological father really active. And so when that happened, I felt the weight of maintaining more responsibility than I've ever had, the weight of a new marriage. We were in our first year of marriage, and my wife was entering from a small town to a big city, and she would want to go to the grocery store at 5 p.m., and I simply said, that's not the best idea. And so we're walking, and we're learning through all those things, and this is where I really landed on this passage. And so that's why I want to park here and say, this isn't just a framework. This is the reality of God always wanting to give himself to us. There would be moments where I would sit alone on our balcony and just say, I need your peace that exceeds my understanding. I need your peace that guards my heart and my mind as I live in you, because I have all these worries of how this is going to turn out, or all these anxious thoughts that I don't have a strategy or coping mechanism for, and I don't know what to do. I just need to invite you, and I know I need that. And he would show up every single time. He would show up every single time. And so if you're going through something, you can insert this same framework into your life of next time you feel overwhelmed, invite Jesus in. He wants to show up. He always will show up, and he always has shown up if we reflect on it. So verse 7 is really near and dear for me too. And 1 John 4:18, for those who know this verse, For such love has no fear, because perfect love casts out fear. And the reason I bring up that passage is because in 2 Timothy, it talks about the Lord hasn't given us a spirit of fear. So let's take a step back. When are the times that we experience fear? When are the times that we experience anxiety at times? And for a lot of us, there's just an emotional trigger when that happens. And what I want to talk about is from the ministry side is sometimes fear is a spirit. Sometimes fear is a demonic spirit, because that is what Scripture talks about when he says he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us his Holy Spirit, a spirit of love and a sound mind and self-control. And so when we're inviting Jesus in, we're actually in casting out fear by focusing on the arrival of Jesus into that place, because perfect love casts out fear. And so for us to be unfixated on the fear, but to be completely fixated on Jesus, is actually the process and the means of the removal of fear. Does that kind of make sense? And so just another way of thinking about that, when we're inviting Jesus into the room, we expel our fear, because that's who Jesus is. Perfect love casts out fear. So quickly, three strategic areas to have margin, okay? I'm going to be revisiting what has been taught this spring so far, but number one is our budgets. Dr. Self just talked about finances a couple of weeks ago, and what's great about the kingdom framework for finances is we start off with giving, which is typically not what we don't see in the world. Then we move towards our payments, living at the means that the Lord has called us to. And then we look at investing, and then we look at spending. So spending is last, but for us to create margin, and as every financial advisor would say, is to create margin to do the things that we're called to do and live. Some fun updates is we finally built up our first emergency fund as a married couple. And so now we can start investing, and we want to invest well. And so we're really excited about that. But we've just are finally getting to this place where we have margin in our budget. Our first year of marriage, we lived off of gift cards, and we didn't buy any new pieces of clothing for our first year of marriage. It was a heck of a year, but it was fun, and we lived within our means. So now that we have our margin, our budgets are a little bit more healthier in that regard. So number two is schedule. So number one is our budget. Number two is our schedule. This is what I want to talk about, Sabbath. I will always talk about Sabbath. I will find some way to talk about Sabbath every time I'm up here, because I believe our city needs it so bad. Sabbath is not just an Old Testament commandment. It is God's design for his people to step into his kingdom. It's not just an Old Testament commandment that somehow got removed once Jesus died on the cross. No, it is God's design for his people to take a day off, to rest, to enjoy, and to be loved by God. And so something my wife and I always say on Sabbath, which is typically our Saturday, is we rest, we play, God loves us. We rest, we play, God loves us. That's the Sabbath. And what we do is when we take on the Sabbath in our schedules and we schedule a Sabbath, a weekly Sabbath, we will feel margin and we will feel the joy of eternity. We talked about this last year. I believe a big idol of our city is production. LA might be image. New York, there's these tones of success. Colorado, it might be adventure. But for Houston, I believe that there's an idol of production. And with the idol of production, we can default to the cultural lie, which is my productivity equals my value. My productivity equals my value. And when we start adopting the cultural lie, it threads into our churches, it threads into our quiet times. But when we practice and schedule Sabbath, we are more than what we produce. We are more than what we produce. An example is when the Israelites left Egypt, Moses went on top of the mountain and had this and received the covenant from God to start initiating Sabbath. Why? Because Israel, God's people at that point, were receiving all of their value from making bricks. That's all they've been doing from generation to generation to generation. And so that's where they received all their value. And the Father said, you are more than the bricks you make. And that's the invitation to us as God's people in this current day. And then divine appointments. When we schedule margin into our days and we're not back to back to back, we have room for divine appointments. And we always say this in the missions office, but if we're praying for God to use us, he's always going to do it at the most inconvenient time. He just will. And it's a test. And so will we get to respond because we have margin in our schedule? It's a test for us. So quick pop quiz. Gabriel Lunculevich, my crazy Romanian friend, was up here a couple of weeks ago for those who were here. And he had an amazing talk. He had an amazing talk on creating and cultivating a prayer culture in your workplace. And so I'm going to do a pop quiz of raise your hand if you followed up with any of these one questions. Number one, have you been praying for your office consistently? Any raises of hands? Okay. Number two, have you found your one prayer person to pray with? Okay. Number three, have you gotten creative with making yourself available and known that you are free for prayer for other people? Just want to follow up with my brother, Gabriel. I know that he would appreciate it. And so just to refocus, when we schedule margin in our and even our 9-to-5s, we see God move in tremendous ways, not just in finances, but in our schedule. And so if you're still following up on building a prayer culture in your workplace, schedule margin, you won't regret it. And then lastly is emotional bandwidth. When our gas tanks are on E, we are doctors mad at sick patients. And so when I start getting frustrated with other people because of their needs, I know it's time to take a break because that's the nature of ministry for me. And if we have our gas tanks on E, then typically we take it out on our families and our inner circles and in our workplace. And so just to be aware, and if you need permission to take a day off, you got it. Take a day off. Lastly, verse 9 and 8 and 9 that we can get out of here. Focusing on the big picture, eternity. Let's review verses 8 and 9. Now, brothers and sisters, one final thing. This is basically a summary of Paul wrapping this all up. Please listen to this one final thing. Verse 8, fix your thoughts on what is true, on what is honorable, on what is right, and what is pure, and what is lovely, and what is admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. This is Paul zooming out. Because typically when we're stressed out and when we're having our hardest days, we're zoomed in. We're zoomed in. And so Paul is saying, look at the big picture. Look at eternity. Look what matters. And what are eternal is the relationships. It's the people around us. And it's what God has called us to into that season. Anything that takes faith, God will use for eternity. That's just his nature. That's why he calls us to be a part of that. One of my favorite verses and my biggest fear is tied to this, John 15:5. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm going to confess to you, my biggest fear is that I will spend my life doing great and excellent things that look really good to man and really good for churches, but are never a part of eternity. And that's my biggest fear. And the things that involve eternity are the things that I need God for. And oftentimes I'm fighting God about not using him because I want to work within my own competency or even in my own character. But God is inviting each one of us to do something in tandem with him because that's what it means to be sons and daughters. And so apart from me, you can do nothing. That doesn't mean you can't do great things, but apart from him, we can't be a part of eternal things. So if God is asking you to do something specifically or something comes to mind, press in. It will be a part of eternity. And then lastly, keep putting in practice all that you've learned and received from me and everything you've heard and saw me doing. This is a parenting line, essentially. He's talking to his church in Philippi and saying, don't just do as I say and not as I do, but I really have modeled this for you. I've really modeled this. So keep into practice everything that I've taught you. And then he ends it with peace again. Then God's peace will be with you. It's the same promise that we have in Matthew 22 at the Great Commission. And surely I'll be with you always. If you need Jesus, he's there with you. You just need to pray. And so I hope today was lighthearted. It is encouraging, and it all comes down to essentially prayer is the means of experiencing margin. God's peace equals God's presence. Margin in our budgets, in our schedules, and in our emotional bandwidth equals a greater life. And focusing on the big picture means focusing on what matters. It's eternity. You're doing a great job. So just hear from me. You're doing a great job. Keep it up. I just feel like that was a word from the Lord for you. You're doing a great job. Keep it up. He's with you. And if you ever need him, just pray. And he's with you. He's promised it. And he's always been faithful. He always will be. And he loves you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your yoke once again. Thank you for your presence. And I just ask that your presence would continue just to be in this place. I ask that you would increase our awareness of when you want to move, or just when you're in the room with us. And God, we ask that your peace that surpasses all understanding would guard our hearts and our minds as we live in Christ Jesus. God, help us to fix our mind on things eternal, on things that are lovely, that are admirable, that are pure. God, help us to see the bigger picture of what you're doing in eternity and how you've invited us to be a part of it. We love you, Jesus. It's great to be loved by you. And I ask that everyone would just have just an amazing Wednesday today. Thank you for what you have for us. And we love you. And we only say that because you first loved us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. We'll see you guys next week. Love you guys.